Blog Talk Radio.
Home of the stars, through the airwaves and on the big screen. Coming to you live from Hollywood, it's Rated G Radio with your host, Garrett Miller.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Rated G Radio. I am thrilled to have you here on the show tonight. Rarely, I think, will we have a treat as fine as today when we have Mark DePina call in, and he is Australian. He's a surfer. He's a poet. He's a storyteller and so much more. And I am really excited to have him on here because we've been trying to get a date for the show for probably about 4 or 5 months. And I'm going to tell you, it's really my fault for not being able to coordinate a date better or faster for him. And Mark has been very, very flexible. And so it's fantastic that he's going to be taking time out of his afternoon today in Australia to call in and share stories. We've got a couple of songs from poems that he's written that his friend Meg has put to music. So we are all set and ready to go. I will tell you that also I had a fun day today. I got to go see a client that's moving to London in March. Got to go visit with her first thing this morning, and I think that she was kind of a little surprised that I actually showed up on time. It's one of those funny things in California. People are shocked. If you say 10 o'clock, it's 10 o'clock. In my book, it's 10 o'clock. 10 o'clock is not 10:45 or 11:30 or 3 in the afternoon or something like that. I figure you've got other stuff to do. So magically, I will show up on time, which is always fun to do. And so I visited with her. That went really well. And then I headed up to Chatsworth to see my friend, Dr. Annie Ulrich. She is a regular monthly guest here on Rated G Radio. I always love seeing her in person. She's always got such a great energy and spirit about her. So we had a fun reading, and I will tell you all about that on another date, probably when she calls in March when we do that. But I will make sure to give you updates there. So without further ado, we are going to welcome Mark to the show. Mark actually likes to be called Dip, so I'm going to refer to him as Dip from now on. So Dip, welcome to the show. Did we lose the connection? We might have just lost the connection. Well, we're going to try this again, so he'll try that. So while Mark tries to call back in, it was funny because when I went to go see Dr. Annie today, you know, she has a beautiful office set up with all of her books and candles and crystals and everything else. And we go in and she's like, boom, and just goes right into our reading today. And it was really fun because I had not clued her in on anything that I wanted to talk about or things that were going to be going on in my life. Surprisingly, she doesn't follow me on Facebook. You know, she might, if I tag her in something, she'll comment or something like that. But she's not somebody who sit here and religiously follows my profile. So she doesn't really have an in-depth look. And Facebook is about as close as in-depth as you're going to get, unless I'm having a private conversation with you. And she just went right off on all the things that I was wondering about. And it was funny, by the time we got done, she goes, okay, what questions do you have? I was like, every single thing I'd written down, she'd already answered for me. So thank you, Dr. Annie, if you are listening today. That was always a fun thing to do. She is actually sponsoring just dial in. I will handle the rest. Okay, so Mark is trying to call in right now. Dr. Annie, if you're in the Chatsworth area and are interested in doing a weeknight, weekly tarot session, that you were going to do your own tarot cards for 22 weeks. It's $20 a week, 22 weeks. And you can bring your notebook, colored pens or pencils, black and white tarot keys, and you can also buy them from her, or the instruments that you have chosen as the method of your expression. I'm not really sure what that is involving, but she's doing a fun workshop, and I'm inviting you to check out my Facebook. I did a little ad. She sent it to me, and I said, I'm just going to post this on Facebook if you don't mind. So there's a little ad there. If you want more information beyond what is printed in the ad there for Dr. Annie, call her at 818-773-8826. Again, 818-773-8826, and she will give you more information about the workshop, what's involved, the time commitment, and all of that fun stuff that you'll want to know about. And I think that would be fun for you to do. You know, over the weekend, I got to go see Kelly Fitzgerald play at the Boathouse here in Long Beach. And the Boathouse is one of those places that, I haven't eaten there except for French fries, and I'm not eating French fries right now because I'm back on my diet. But the food there when I see it walk by me, is really, really great. And you'll say, Garrett, why haven't you eaten at the Boathouse? You go there to see Kelly play. Well, I usually go there at like 9, 10 o'clock at night, right as the bar is closed or the kitchen's closing, and I don't drink, so it's not like I'm ordering up liquor. So I've had, you know, a couple of French fries right before the, you know, kitchen closes, and had a chance to see Kelly and Brian play to a packed house, as they usually do. The dance floor was crazy, the bar was crazy, the restaurant was crazy, and everybody was there to see Kelly play. And that was always fun. If you get a chance to go out and support live music in your local community, I'm always going to encourage you to do that. It's, number one, the artists really appreciate it. Number two, I think it's fun culturally for you just to get out, even if it's not your style of music. Sometimes, you know, I'll go and listen to one style or another that really is not my favorite, but being able to connect with the artist and see their love of the performance really is kind of fun. And sometimes it opens up new ideas for me. But without further ado, let's see if we can get Mark on the line here. Now, Mark, do I have you?
Hello, Garrett. Can you hear me?
Mark, we have a winner. You are the winner chicken lunch today.
Oh, hang on a second. One second.
Yep.
I've had trouble getting on to you. Sorry about that. I was hitting...
No, you're fine. I'm just telling stories until I get the master storyteller, you, until I get you on. So there you go.
I got that. Thank you for having me anyway. So sorry about the hiccup.
No. You're totally fine.
Okay. Are you hearing me okay? That's the main thing.
I think you're coming through loud and clear, especially since you're from Australia. You're halfway around the world, and it sounds like you're just down the block.
That's good then. Okay. So let's begin.
So, let's begin. So I was telling everybody, you know, I've been remiss about trying to get you booked on the show for months, and it's been my fault and error completely for not getting you on sooner. And you are probably one of the most prepared, most thorough guests that we are probably ever going to have here on the show. So I'm grateful to you for all the preparation and love and time that you've put into tonight's episode. One of the things that I want to do first, Mark, is, and I need to make sure I call you Dip, because everybody calls you Dip. You're going to tell us why in just a second. But one of the things that I want to make sure that we do is talk a little bit about you and your background first, and then, you know, get into some of the poetry and things like that. Because one of the things that I am most impressed by you is the fact that you are a master storyteller, and you can talk on a variety of different subjects in such a fun and engaging way that we could probably do about a 78-hour marathon nonstop and still have plenty of time to go. And so I'm grateful for you taking your time out of your afternoon here instead of being out surfing like you could be doing today.
Yeah, I have to laugh because that was one of my nicknames at school was, and at work was Have a Chat. And as I said the other day when I spoke to you was that is one of my problems. So I do chat a bit too much and you never get a chance to get a word in. So I apologize before I even start.
Oh, no, you're great.
Yeah.
So tell us about yourself, Mark. Where did you grow up? And because everybody listening, you have your fan base in Australia, which is huge and vast and wide, and I'm in awe of everybody in Australia who's tuning in live today. Thank you very much. But for everybody here in the States, we probably don't know you. So who is Dip?
Well, I really appreciate you putting the hype up, but I'm just a local guy that's having a bit of fun with writing. I discovered writing about 4 years ago when I was invited to join Facebook and look at surfing photos, and I started to comment in rhyme, and I really enjoyed doing it. And some 2,700 poems later, I've put out a book, and I'm still writing, and I have a passion to write every day, and I usually put out about 4 or 5 poems. It's always in four-line rhyme and very basic, not very sort of hard to understand. With every topic, I get inspired by mainly images on Facebook. But just getting back to my history, I was born and bred in a beachside suburb of Sydney called Cronulla, and it's about 30 k's from the CBD of Sydney. It's on the east coast. And
what's your weather like today, Mark?
It's probably about 29 to 30 degrees, and it's been a really nice day. We've had some...
It's about like 90 here over in L.A.
It's 90 today, you're saying?
That would be about 90 hour temperature. So, yeah, we're having similar weather right now.
Oh, that's amazing. Yeah, because this is supposed to be your sort of winter, isn't it?
Well, it is. Now, if you go to Boston, they've got, you know, feet, and they've got like 20 feet of snow that they don't have any place to put, and they don't know what to do, and it just keeps coming down. But I'm in my gym shorts and a tank top tonight and with the windows and door open. So, you know, I'm prepared to get hate mail and hate emails from everybody who's listening everywhere else in the country that's freezing. But it's quite nice here. So I'm glad that you and I can share some weather stories today.
Oh, yeah. We've had a bit of a strange summer. Regarding surfing, we've probably had the worst sand banks we've had at Cronulla in a long time, and it's been a bit frustrating as a surfer, but it's given me a lot of time to spend on Facebook, and a lot of my friends on Facebook will attest to that, because I do spend quite a few hours on it writing, and I'm sure they get a bit sick of it, but it's all fun, and that's why I'm on here now, because it was an opportunity to talk to you. I've got a bit of a fan base in America, probably about three people.
Yeah, but, I'm the president of your Huntington Beach fan club, so you know I'm here with me and the five puppies, so we're here for you tonight, Mark.
You're too nice to me. So getting back to my, I got made redundant 2 months ago yesterday, and I used to work at the... The oil refinery.
And so for people here in the States, he got a severance package, or he got laid off, and he got paid to go.
Exactly, yeah. What happened, I was the process plant operator at the refinery, which is only about 6 or 7 k's from home. So I live in the area called the Sutherland Shire, and we're known as Hobbits. And if you have to leave the area, you sort of get a bit nervous. So basically, the whole of the state is divided into shires, and the area that adjoins or takes in Cronulla and a few of the outer suburbs is called the Sutherland Shire. So within the shire is the birthplace of Australia in relation to Captain Cook.
Wow.
He actually landed just in front of the refinery on the beach and in 1770. So it's a bit of history for you. And the refinery's been there since 1956, and I've been employed there since 1980. So that was 35 years of employee. And what happened, in their wisdom, they decided to bring in finished product instead of making process where they bring in crude oil. It was more financially viable. The refinery was getting on in age, and they felt that it needed to be massively upgraded or to do it this way. And so there was a project in place for the last 2 years to convert it into a distribution terminal.
Hey, I got a question for you, because I know nothing about the oil industry or how that works. So if they were mining it or bringing it up out of the ground or whatever, you know, for years and years and years, and they just didn't want to retrofit it to make it current so it's more, you know, feasible to do, what are they going to do with the oil on the ground there?
Well, when I started in 1980, the main supply of oil was from Bass Strait, and the Middle East oil came in. It was a sour oil, and when I mean by sour, it had a lot of sulfur content in it, and our oil was sweet. But we're running out of stocks here, and we have to go further afield now to get our supplies. So this is where they decided that with these big mega refineries in Asia and India, they've decided to bring the finished product into Australia and then distribute it normally to the market, instead of it bringing, say, crude oil and going through and processing it and turning it into jet fuel and diesel and heating oil. And see, off a barrel of oil, you've got about five or six products that come off the barrel, and you've got the lighter ends and the heavier ends. Without getting too technical into it and boring everybody, but it just gives you an insight into basic refining. It's just like a distillation column, and that was what I ran over at Cornell, which, as I said, was only 6 kilometres from home. So I had a pretty dream run for 35 years as a ship worker, and I never really had to travel more than 6 minutes without one light to work. So I was pretty spoiled. And ship work gave me the opportunity to obviously do my passion of surfing. And because of shift, there's only like it was 5 afternoons and 5 day shifts and 5 night shifts. And you got a 6 day break after night shift. So
oh, nice.
I got to do a lot. I got to do a lot of surfing and a lot of travelling, and I've travelled a few spots around the world surfing, which I've really loved. And I'm actually going away on Monday to a place called the Mentawai Islands, which is off the coast of Sumatra. And I'm going with 10 fellows from school. I haven't seen some of these guys for 30 years. So other than a surf trip, it's going to be a big reunion. It only takes 10 guys, but you've got the boat charters and that. But it's very early for the season that we're going, and it's a bit of a gamble that the waves are there. But I've been 7 times, and I've never not had waves. So I'm just looking forward to seeing the guys as much as the surf this time. So and at the end of the year, I'm going to go with my two boys as a redundancy sort of present. My boys are both surfers, and Aaron's 30, and Matthew's 29, and it's great to do the father and son bit, and I'm hoping to have a few more of those trips now that I'm made redundant and I'm officially retired. So I've been retired for 2 months, and hence I can spend a bit more time on my other passion, which is writing poems, and that's what I'm doing. So
tell us about your poetry. You've already got a book out, which I'm remiss that I don't think I have a copy of yet, so that'll be quickly corrected. I'll figure out how to get that, but...
I put that book out in February 2013. It was written. The funny thing is, it was a book of romance poems, and you can ask my wife. I haven't got a romantic bone in my body, but I just got this thing about being able to write all that gushy stuff, and it just seems to flow off the tongue here. I know some of it might be bullshit, but excuse the French. but basically, it seems to be pretty popular, and I decided to put it into a book of poems called Poems from the Heart, and I put it out in 2013, and I only published printed 500 copies, and between friends and people at work and others. I managed to get rid of them, and I didn't do it as a financial venture. It was more to do with just getting a bit of credibility as a simple rhyming poet. And I've sort of picked up a lot of friends on Facebook. Facebook's been fantastic as a platform to write my poems, because a lot of my poems are basically always inspired by images, shared images on Facebook, and you'll see a lot of those. And I have a lot of surfing friends that are photographers that I picked up on Facebook who have shared their photos, and they've been amazing. And if your listeners become interested, once you start hearing of some of my poems that I was inspired to write, you'll see a lot of my virtually all my poems are on a site called Dip Tales Poems from the Heart, which is a page on Facebook, and that's a public opening. So anyone is welcome to see what I'm saying about these beautiful photos that inspire me to write this.
And hopefully, Dip, I've got the correct link on the show page. So if anybody's listening, either live or in Technicolor, now or in the future, if you're listening to the show and want to see what he's talking about, just click the link at the bottom of the page there, and it will say, check out all of Dip's poems on Facebook by clicking here. We make it that easy for you, folks. So you just click that, and you can go take a look at all of that fun stuff and get a good gander of what he's going to be reading to us tonight. So that's cool. I love that.
Yeah. You know what the hardest part was, Garrett, was to sit here and you said, look, I want you to sort of talk about Oz and yourself and just give me 5 poems. Now, I had to pick 5 poems out of 2,740 poems. And
of course.
It was the hardest.
You know, but I also told you, Mark, I said, Mark, you're too much fun just to have as a one-time guest. So it's not like, okay, in your entire life, you're going to have a chance to do 5, and that is it. So make them the best 5 you've ever got. It's like, okay, we're going to have you back once a month. So you can get 5 now and 5 later, 5, you know. So, yeah. But you are a character for sure.
If that's the case, you've got me for about 42 years, because I've got enough.
Yeah, I hope so. Well, I don't know if I want to do this for 42 years, but you can come with me wherever I go for 42 years. I'll tell you that.
Yeah. Just so I will segue into what I'm with the just getting back to the poetry book. I deliberately put a picture of my wife at the front, because my whole family have been totally sort of embarrassed by this writing poems and putting them on. They find them laughable. And basically, I deliberately put a photo of my wife from about 23, and I wrote this heartfelt poem about her in the book, and when she when the book came home from the printer, she opened the book and there was her old photo, and she said, that's me. I said, yeah. So she read the book, the page, and she had a bit of a tear, so I knew I sort of hit out there. So basically, at the end of the book, I put a picture of my dad. Now, I lost my dad about 5 years ago, and we were pretty close, and he was the guy that probably inspired me to have a passion for the ocean. And so I wrote a poem about that, and this is the one I want to start off with, because
yes, please.
It's a poem that's very close to me, and it means a lot. And what I did when I wrote it, about 4 years after I wrote it, I wrote this one poem, a response from Dad. It's called A Letter from Dad. So I'll read it in full context, if you don't mind, and it'll give you an idea what it was like. If you go
please.
To when you go to my page, you'll see a picture. He was an amazing guy. He was only about 5 foot four, but he was just a barrel of muscle, and he was such an inspiration. I get a bit welled up when I talk about him now. But so it's like this. So it's called Another Angel Came Today, and it goes like this. Another angel came today, picked up my dad, took him away. But I know he'll be looking from above, down on me with all his love. I really miss him, that's why one weeps. Just want to kiss him and have him for keeps. He meant so much. He taught me well to have a good heart, but don't hide in a shell. So I always try to stay true to myself, say how I feel, not just sit on the shelf. So to my guardian angel, now looking over me, thanks for showing me this love of the sea. And then, as I said, 4 years later, I decided to write this a poem about losing my dad and the passion he gave me for the ocean. It goes like this. It's called A Letter from Dad. I received a letter the other day. The writing looked familiar in a surprising way. I looked on the back, no return to sender address, but the stamp was from heaven, so I had a good guess. I carefully opened, didn't want to spoil the emotion I was feeling right there. I opened the letter, and to my surprise, the words that I read brought tears to my eyes. Dear son, I miss you. I miss you every day. Just want to kiss you in a fatherly way. Just want to hold you again and talk of those days. Just want to retain the emotion one displays when you haven't seen someone for so many years, when you haven't been with someone, to take away their fears, to laugh and to smile and recall all those times, just to hold and just listen to those silly little rhymes. I'm proud of you, son, just how you turned out. The way you show compassion leaves me no doubt that you did listen and learn to what I had to say. Just glad this letter arrived before Father's Day. Slow fast. I stood there a moment, tears raining down my face, and thought of my tribute in the book on the last space. I picked up my book and read what I did say, just how another angel came back today. Love you, Dad, miss you. That's it.
Wow. What do you feel when you read that?
Well, I was struggling at the end, actually. It's you know, when I write, I sort of write everything from the heart. I try to I've got my heart on my sleeve. I'm an open book sort of thing, and a lot of my poems have been that way. And I've actually written a few eulogies for people that have rang me and said, "Look, I really got a funeral I've got to go to, and for my mum or my dad, and they give me a few facts, and I'll write down a few things." And they've been really appreciative, and I really get a buzz out of doing that. And I think one day I could even think about becoming a celibate and do that sort of stuff. I reckon that'd be really good fun. I just like to make people happy. Yeah?
Dip, I got to ask you a question here. Now, I think at the beginning you said something, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I just want to call you out here for a second. You said you're like not very romantic or not very, you know, and when I hear something that is as passionate as that about the relationship that you had with your father, I have to imagine that your wife just is head over heels for all of your poems and probably the millions of poems that you write to her all the time. Is that a fair statement to say that, you know, you might not like to label yourself that, but you might be by default?
Well, if you talk to my wife, I'm quite honest here with that. I think she tolerates me now. Like, we're in this. Well, I'm in the lounge. I just tell you, I'll paint this picture. I'm in the lounge room here, right? And I'm at the computer. I've taken a couple of walls out of the house, and there's the TV. And Lee watches her shows, like she loves watching a few of your shows in America, like what's that one with the Chase guy, Entourage.
And
what she's watching them and I'm turning and she said, oh, you never watch the show. So I spin the chair around and say, hello, how are you? And I'll go back and I'll continue. Because if I see a photo, I'll just get inspired. And if I don't write it there and then, I've forgotten. There's so many poems that I've written that because I didn't write them down straight away, I've forgotten them.
Oh, yeah.
I think
yeah.
This is the problem. There's, like I say, there's 2,700 poems and I'm sure people go, oh, Christ, here's another one. You know, but I think they just want a bit of a breather. And so maybe I'll sit back and smell the roses a bit and just put on, you know, one or two an hour instead of one or two a minute.
Well, you know, I think it's hard when you're as creative and inspired as you are. And I'm going to ask you to actually go because we're going to play two of your poems. That's so silly to say, but we're going to put two of your poems on that Meg, who's a friend, I want you to tell us all about her too, but she's wrote music to go along with your poems. I'm just overwhelmed that you say, you know, in the last few years you've written 2,000 poems, because to me that's just mind-boggling, because I equate that to writing a song or something like that as eloquently as you've written the poem to your father. So how do you do it?
Oh, you know what? I don't know, because 4 years ago I hadn't picked up a pen, and my whole interest was just surfing and the family and that. And then that day that I started to just play around with rhyme, I just really enjoyed it, and I just found it really easy to do. Virtually all my poems are written in about 3 or 4 minutes, and they just come. Look, there's so many words in the language, that emotion, ocean, potion, love, above, that do rhyme. So if you went through my poems, you'd probably find that there's a repeat of those words that are key words in sea poems or romance poems. But it's funny, I've looked at all my poems, and I can't really say that they're too identical. And even though I've written so many, it's surprising going back through the archives. Like today I spent some time going through and trying to see if there's something that's pretty close. There's some close ones, but they've all got this sort of slight difference. And a lot of the times it might be just an inspirational quote or but it's mainly images. And hence the next book I'm going to do is called Poems from the Sea. And I've just got to get the blessing of a lot of my friends who have got these beautiful shared photos on Facebook to put in the book. Because what I'll do, with my first book, I actually had picture poems where I actually inlaid the poem words into the picture. So when you're looking at the picture, you actually read the words. And this is what I do at I go to the nursing homes and I recite my poems at the nursing homes. And I put I've got a PowerPoint presentation, and I put the big picture up on the wall, and then I say the poem, and I get the old
book
to look
gosh.
At the picture. Yeah. It's good until I only take the one poem because they're all old and demented, that I just, after 5 minutes, I say the same poem again, and they go, oh, that's a good one. I didn't hear that one before. No, I'm only kidding. But it's nearly like that. Some are really attentive, and some sort of, you know, it's the best therapy for them having a snooze at you. But look, it's all in fun, and they really appreciate it. And I've actually do a poem there that, I don't want to segue off this other bit with moving, because that's a very important part of where I'm going now. But basically, I do a poem about getting old, and it's quite long. It's called Got to Face the Ugly Truth, and it's just all the perils of getting old, with your back bending and your glasses. And I guess I thought initially that they'd be a bit offended, that they'd laugh their heads off. And so I do that as sort of my sort of piece of resistance poem, and they love it. And I really get a buzz, because now I do it. I get dressed up in a hat and a cane, and I put on a cardigan, and I look in the mirror and I said, God, it's my father. I just look just like Dad, you know. So I knew how to say the words, and I do it in their character with the words. But look, just getting back to Megan, because it's important. About 3 months ago, I started to look at my poems and thought, well, you know, a lot of these can be converted to song easily just by putting a chorus, because let's face it, a lot of songs are just four line rhyme, whether it be in what they call ABAB format or AABB, you'd understand that being a song writer yourself. And I found that I was easily converting, and And I put up a poem and I said, is anyone wants, because I haven't got a, I love music and I love listening to live music, but I can't play a note. And I just said, if anyone wants to have a go of putting a tune to it and a voice, you're welcome. And Meg came back with this one that you're going to play. I'd like to read you the words just first and then play it, because it's her interpretation. It's got a bit of a country feel, and then the next one's called With the Will to Fly, and that one is the one that's about a seabird, and she did it with a rocky sort of feel, and she just did it on her GarageBand application on her iPad, and she does.
I am blown away by that, by the way.
And honestly, for the quality of, like, if you play it a few times, it's really, I was rapt, you know, and she's willing, with time, she's got a few things on her plate, and she's willing to have a go at putting a whole album of poems together in song, and I have enough to do that. So we've been discussing what poems would work and what ones won't, and that's a project I want to do this year, amongst others. You know, I want to do my own show where I actually recite on stage and have her playing guitar to music on stage. All these little ideas are jumping up at me. But the first passion is obviously the ocean, and that's going to happen next week. So, but in the meantime, can I just read you this one? The one you're going to play is You Know Who You Are.
Okay. I've got it cued and ready to go, so you tell me when to press the play button.
Yeah, okay. So it's just called You Know Who You Are, and I wrote it, and then I thought, well, I'll put a chorus to it. So it just goes like this. You always make a gloomy day seem a whole lot brighter. What more words do I need to say? I'm a lover, not a fighter. You always bring the sunshine that warms my lonely heart. You know I am doing just fine. Our friendship will never part. Chorus. You know who you are, my love. You know who you are. And when you're taken up above, I'll still love you from afar. Still love you from afar. You are a soulmate. You are a friend. You are there when I'm feeling down. I know you'll be there till the end. That's why I'll never wear a frown. To you, my friend, I thank you here. I thank you every single day. You are the one who will understand. There are no more words I need to say. You know who you are, my love. You know who you are. And when you're taken up above, I still love you from afar. I'll still love you from afar. And it does a bit of repetition. So that's just the segue into the song, because it'll give you an idea how she interpreted the words and how she played it.
Well, let's do it, because I, when I was downloading this and uploading it into the studio, and, you know, it kind of goes on a repeat for a couple of times, it was like, this is really, really cool. And it's not like I couldn't believe it was one of your poems, because I totally can, but to hear your work put into music is really, really special. So here is Mark's poem, You Know Who You Are. We'll be back right after this. Hang on.
You know I am doing just fine.
Right on. So that's, you know who you are. And Dip, tell us about your friend Meg again. How is she doing? What is she working on? And how do we find out more about her?
Well, Meg's a very sort of private sort of person. She's it was just purely an accidental sort of connection, because, as I said, I put up a poem about 3 months ago, and she just grabbed it and put words. I actually challenged people to put a song to it, and she came back with virtually that. That's the song, one cut.
Wow.
on her GarageBand application. She's been a busker over the years. She's a guitarist in her own right. She's got her own songs that are unreal, and when I went to her SoundCloud site and seen her songs, I just couldn't believe that she hadn't she does a rendition of Hallelujah, other than her own songs. It just blew me away, and I knew that this could work, and so I'm really happy that I can get the time to do it. I actually wrote a song based on the Fields of Gold by Sting, and I call it Fields of Barley, and because when I first heard that song, I thought it was about barley, as in the surfing spot, not barley, the wheat. And
I love
so
it.
So I had this, and so I wrote this thing called this. I got the exact song that Sting had put, and I'd actually changed the lyrics to Seas of Gold, and it's all about barley and going surfing in barley. And I wanted Meg to just for myself, because I know it's a copyright issue with to do that live, but I just love that song so much. And when you get a chance on Friday night when you do your song, I'd love you to play that Sting's Fields of Gold. I think it's an amazing song. Yeah. So
right on.
Yeah, so that was Meg's first one, and once I got the well, I said, wow, this girl's unreal. I actually got in contact with Megan, and I said, look, I've got a couple of other ones there. And I started getting excited. And I'm sending her all these emails with poems, and she's just having brain attacks. She's going, well, slow down. I can't do too many. So she's got like 30 of my poems that I've got, you know, and I've got a column, obviously. But this one I wrote a poem called With the Will to Fly. And what it was an image of a seabird in a sunrise or a sunset, however you want to perceive it. But this big seabird's flying towards the horizon, in towards the sun. And it's, the whole picture is just orange. And the words just jumped out at me, and I wrote these words, and then she did this rendition of her interpretation of the words in a rocky, and you'll be pretty amazed at that. But here it is. It's called With the Will to Fly. With the will to fly, I set my course. I head toward the sun. With the will to fly, I feel the force, and this life I'll never shun. I am a seabird of the sun. I fly this orange hue. I fly this sea till day is done. Take in this ocean view. I spread my wings and fly this space, these vast horizon seas. I see things that I embrace, that are always there to please. I am a seabird of the sun, with this will to fly, silhouetted in this morning run, across this orange sky. Wings outstretched, I love to glide, heading for uncharted ocean, high above all land and tide, in joyous, endless motion. I am a seabird of the sun, my destination with the breeze, a solitary flight of gliding fun. I am a seabird, so easy to please. So that's it. And Meg, you want to do Meg's
song? You kind of have that little, that's powerful. You want to play the song? Should we play the song now and we'll come back?
I'd love you to play the song, because I think it's, if you don't mind.
Let's do it. Here it is, Will to Fly.
Till day is done, and take it.
Musical version of Will the Fly. What do you think about that when you hear that song?
Do you know what? I've played it. I reckon I've played it about 26 times, and I'm probably the harshest critic about my own poetry, but I didn't recognise my own words when she sang it as a song, and it really does get catchy. And if you can imagine, Megan's done that on an iPad app, just a garage band, playing her own guitar, and she's now been asked to play in a band with bass guitar, actually. But her love is writing and music. And I'd like to, next time we go, is get a few more. And hopefully we'll have a few more songs by next time. But look, I know we've got to run out of time here because I didn't realise that 1 hour goes so quick. But
it flies by.
I know. So I'll just want to get – there's two poems I really want to play. Because I've got this love of the sea, and these guys that put up these poems, put these images up, guys like, I've got a list here of guys like Warren Keelan from Wollongong, Steen Barnes, Morgan Mason, Ben Thorwald, Tim Bernathan, Robbie Crawford, locals like Greg McCarthy. They've got these amazing photos that it's just so easy to get inspired to. And Morgan put up this photo the other day on Facebook, and I'm not sure if Morgan's living in Australia or America, but he put this one up. It was just a picture of an horizon with a lonely surf, just one surfer in the middle of the ocean, no one else around. And straight away I knew what I wanted to write, because the thing a surfer wants is having a wave to himself and solitude. And so I call it Happiness is a Lonely Ocean. And you can imagine when you go to my, if you want to go to my wall, you can see the exact picture. And all these guys have got sites, so you can go and see all their amazing photos. So just remember that if you do go there, they've all got links. But basically this photo was just an horizon with a single surfer sitting on a board waiting for a wave. So I just wrote, happiness is a lonely ocean, contentment is a lonely sea. Solitude is really my devotion. No one there except the sea and me. A patient surfer, a lonely ocean, waiting, waiting so patiently. Each new wave puts his passion in motion. Each new wave sets his spirit free. I am but a child of this ocean, free and wild in a lonely sea. A board, boardies and some sunscreen lotion. This is the lonely life for me. So, as I said, most of my poems are just three verses.
I love that.
If you see the photo, as I'm saying it, it makes you appreciate where I've got inspired the words from, and a lot of my poems. That's why I like to write, to read them myself, because I get people go, that didn't rhyme, that didn't work. And then I say, well, can I read it to you?
Right.
Yeah,
so have you thought about putting, I know you did the one book, and you have your Facebook page, but have you thought about taking this to the next level and turning this into a book, so you actually have that picture side by side with the photo in a hardcover or softcover publication?
This is what I'm saying. I'm just in the throes of getting permission off these guys, getting permission to use their photo, because it's a two-way street here. If I do it as Poems from the Sea and I use their image, I will promote their work and say who the photographer is, his website. So to me, it's a win-win. And I have this beautiful photo that inspired me, and I'll write the words on the page next to me. I won't put the words into the photo because I don't want to ruin the photo. I want them to be high-res, perfectly produced the way they were put, so that when you look at the book, it's going to be 100 picture poems, so that it will be the poem of the sea and the picture on the right page. So it's 50 pages. That's where I want to head, and the next one will be Poems from the... I've got Poems from the Heart, Poems from the Sea, Poems from the Soul. That's just sort of more your spiritual sort of songs, poems. And as I said, I've got a poem for every topic you can think of, politics. I mean, like I said, we could spend years here, but I know we're going to cut this short, but I want to just quickly go back to the one I said about the nursing home, about getting old. Now, it's 6 minutes, so I have to hurry, but basically, I do this in character. You can imagine me in front of these nursing home people, and I've got an old cane, I've got one of those Andy Cap hats on, a pair of glasses, and a cardigan, and I do it like this. You ready?
I am. Go.
But to face the ugly truth, I'm getting old. I miss my youth. The mirror doesn't lie. Now, there's proof. The image I see, it's not good, struth. Never minded going to the mirror, but that was in a different era. Now it can't be any clearer. Old age is now my biggest fear. Age is never very forgiving. It creeps up on you when you're busy living. Then all of a sudden you see a belly, and from the lounge you can't see the telly. Your whole flexibility starts to suffer. Getting out of that lounge, it's getting tougher. Those legs are bowed, that back's now bent. Old age has showed you're now well lent. Those lines on your face are now deep and furrowed. Those laughter lines are now well burrowed. They're well entrenched like the feet of a crow. When will they end? Buggered if I know. Those nana naps are getting longer. Those reading glasses are getting stronger. That little ball patch is getting bigger. And I've really lost my boyhood figure. By next year, now this is hard, I'm eligible for a pension card. So where did my life go? They're all just memories. Oh, speaking of which, my pecs are now memories. Now, I can't remember much these days. Some things seem like just a haze. I really thought it was just a phase. It's not just a conversation I can't raise. And that's for all my toilet issues. I always carry a box of tissues. You just never know when you might spring a leak. Incontinence is a bummer when your bladder's weak. Or I even sometimes wear a nappy, which doesn't make me very happy. It's more for wee than any crappy. No, I'm not a happy chappy. I'm still driving, so if you please, I'd be out there if I could find my keys. It's pissing me off just like my wheeze. Dementia really is such a tease. My memory's fading. Did I tell you that? I can't remember. Have we had this chat? Just seems so long since I've seen you last, but it's only been seconds. Time goes so fast. So now they're talking about this thing called Viagra to make your old fella flow like Niagara. They reckon it makes you last much longer, makes you stand into attention, makes your old pecker stronger. When I'm lying in bed after making love, my loving wife looking down from above, then she asks, was that good for you too? I don't remember. I haven't got a clue. If you go searching for the fountain of youth, you take plenty of bottles, because I'm telling you the truth. You can drink all the water which you like, but once old age has got you, it's a long bloody hike. So make the most of those days being young, because if life is a ladder, I'm back on the top rung. Do all those things you want to do in your youth, because you'll get dementia and forget them. Now, ain't that the truth?
You have a gift.
No. It's just fun, mate. I just love doing it. That one, I really enjoy doing that one, because they get the reaction from the old folk, which Dickie, a bit is offensive, but they just laugh their heads off, because I think they can relate to all the things I say. And when I do it in character, I can actually do that off by heart now. I didn't need the pages. I can do that off by heart. I've done it that many times now. It's about one or two poems that I can do off by heart.
Wow.
You know, you're saying to me,
that is fun.
I'm just trying to rush through because I want to get this. You said to me about the romantic and all that sort of stuff and how my wife must think. Well, I tell you what, I wrote this poem for Valentine's Day, and I'm just trying to find it here for you, because this is the one that I left I've left it strategically around the house, near the kitchen, out near the laundry. And she had no idea I wrote it, you know. And I've lost it.
Have that for next time. So that's your homework. You're going to have to prove that you actually did this.
I'm really disappointed. I've gone to put somewhere down, and I've lost the. Here it is. I've got it. It's called I Want to Be Your Valentine. Okay.
Now, if
you reckon I'm not a suck up, you listen to this one. I want to be your Valentine. This is the day to make you mine. A single rose I have for you, just to show you my love is true. A special day to show my love. You are my hand. I am your glove. You can wear me every day. That way you know I'm here to stay. I want to be your Valentine. Your sweet red lips are so divine. All I have is a single rose and this bit of rhyme, I suppose. You are the love of my life. You are my wife. We have our ups. We've had our downs. We've had our laughter. We've had our frowns. But I'm still here and so are you. Maybe this shows our love is true. Three simple words you already knew. Three simple words. I love you. So,
how sweet is that?
Don't get too excited because, as I said, I'm good at writing these words, but it's a matter of being the romantic. Well, someone said I should try and have a go at getting in contact with Hallmark cards and writing the cards for Hallmark.
I think you should make your own cards and sell them. Cut Hallmark out of the process. Cut out the middleman. You keep the profit.
Honestly, mate, I've got 1,000 poems here. I'd love to say them all, and I know you're running out of time. Just let me know when you just push the button.
We've got some time, and I'll make sure to tell you. But you know, I'm going to give you the best business idea that you know, since these poems just are pouring out of you like there's no tomorrow. Here's what you should do. You should set up a free website, you know, go design a little website, and I could even help you do it. But you catalog all of these poems as, you know, as categories of love, surfing, roses, you know, whatever the case is, you get your 2,000 poems, and you categorize them, and you let really unromantic, doofus types of guys download the poem, so and then, you know, they can go and sing it or recite it to their wife or leave it on a pillow with some chocolates or something like that on a special day, and you can help save marriages around the world.
I've got to tell you something, Garrett. That reminds me. I had a friend that was over the North Shore, and he was dining a new girlfriend, a prospective girl, and they were looking on Facebook, and he read one of my poems to her. And she wanted to go for a toilet break, and she said, "I love that poem. That is beautiful." Anyway, she's gone all kiwi, and she's gone to the. And so he's gone and rang me and said, "Hey, Dip, that poem you wrote, I've got this girl, and she really loved it. Can you write me another one quick? I think I might be in tonight." So I said, "Yeah, no worries." So I wrote her a poem. that led to him having romance that night. It was all because of the poem. So I felt like a matchmaker that night.
Right on. Good for you. See, you've got your calling here.
No. No,
I think we've got time, Mark, for maybe one more of medium length. So do you have something that you can share with the listeners today?
This one, as I said, I've written a few the eulogies and such, and I know this is finishing on a bit of an emotional note, but it's called Silence Breathes a Heavy Heart. And it goes like this. For silence breathes a heavy heart, a breath that's so forlorn. My sadness grieves, as from the start, my happiness is now torn between two feelings of sadness and of joy. Not handling any of these dealings, my emotions do deploy. Regret will always find me, tethering from a tear. Just wish I could put it behind me and have you back, my dear. Distance is our downfall, kilometres be our hate. Persistence be my total call, anticipation just can't wait. To have you back here in my arms, now your journey's done, for it's your loving that really calms. You know you're always the one.
That's pretty. I mean, it sounds silly to say that about you're a guy reading a poem and I'm telling you wrote a pretty poem, but that's pretty.
Yeah. One more, just quickly.
Go.
This is in the book. It's an old couple, and they're lying on bed with contented books in their faces. They're probably in their 90s, and they're sort of they're twilight of their lives, and they're just cuddling up close. And I did this on stage down at the local arts theatre as a bit of a show. It's called We Cuddle Close, and you can imagine this photo. So I'm just trying to picture this this two couples, like a couple laying in bed, and they're pretty old, and this could be such a contented smile on their faces, and it's called We Cuddle Close, and it goes, we cuddle close, a soft embrace, we lived our lives, and together we face that sweet tranquility of getting old, that sweet senility that we've been sold. I love you now and always will. I love the way our hearts are full of beautiful memories we shared together. Nothing can take them, nothing can sever. Our love for each other will never die. You've been my lover, I am your guy. And as we lay and reminisce, I'll always look forward to that goodnight kiss.
Mm. I think that is a that's a great way to end tonight's show. So, okay, offline, we're going to chat, and we're going to talk about when we're going to have you come back next. But this has been a huge treat, Dip, and I need to let everybody know, make sure to go and like your Facebook fan page. The link is on the show page right now, whether you're listening live or in Technicolor, and just click it and like it, and you can actually read all of the poems that Dip's read here tonight, but you can also see tons more that are out there for people to read. We got about 30 seconds left. Do you have any closing thanks or people you want to say hi to?
I want to thank all my friends on Facebook that have put up with me for the last 4 years, and I know I've been prolific with writing, and I've hogged their notifications, but it's those guys that have given me the impetus to do this. And I've got some friends in America, Linda Stickle, and I've got Deanna Menning, and I've got Kathy Totten. I know that follow me pretty religiously, and I'm really appreciative of that. And if I get a few more friends and followers, I'll be wrapped from tonight. And look, I really enjoyed it. I apologize for the start because it was just a hiccup with using Skype.
No worries. The main thing is we get you on the show. So I'm grateful for your perseverance, Mark. There's nobody better than you.
Oh, no, I appreciate your time, and it was great fun, and hopefully it'll be a monthly or even, I don't care, whatever you want to do, monthly, weekly, hourly, minute.
We're going to bring you back. So everybody else, I want to tell you that tomorrow night we have Stephen Michael Shear. He's the author of Patricia Neal, An Unquiet Life. I'm reading the book in every spare moment that I have so I can get through most of it by our interview tomorrow. I'm very excited to have him on. Wednesday, we have celebrity interviewer from Hollywood, Greg Archer. He has written a top 10 best-selling memoir called Grace Revealed. It's about his family's struggle to go through Stalin-occupied Poland during World War II and being taken to concentration camps, sent off to Africa, and finally making their way to the United States. Exciting story. On top of that, on Wednesday, we have actor Jim O'Hare. You'll remember him from the NBC hit comedy show Parks and Recreation. The season finale, or series finale, is coming up, I think, on the 22nd, if that memory serves correctly, so I'm going to make sure everybody watches that. But Jim is on the show Wednesday night to talk about a Kickstarter campaign that he has for a brand new film that he is trying to help produce and get off the ground. It's called Middleman, and it is really a dark comedy. I think you will like it. Thursday, we've got Kurgan Edward Stout. Friday, we've got Airlie Brighton. She is a worldwide phenomenon. She is a singer and a voiceover artist for Xbox and a lot of stuff. She is going, and I think it's okay for me to say this, we're going to be doing a world premiere of a brand new song that she's releasing for the first time ever on Rated G Radio on Friday. So I'm hoping that everybody will tune into that. Super, super exciting stuff there. And Mark, again, or Dip, I've got to get used to calling you Dip here on the show. Dip, thanks for being here on the show tonight. Everybody, we will see you live on Tuesday here in the States. And don't drive distracted. We will
You've been listening to Rated G Radio.